Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. Welcome to Web Culture here on WMR.fm. It is the 2nd of October, 2025. October is one of those words where you know you're getting into like the depths of autumn, or at least into autumn itself. It's my birthday in a couple of days.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, and no, I don't really tend to have happy birthdays. And unfortunately, my birthday is now, and for the rest of my life, will coincide with... My mom died a year ago yesterday. So it's a weird kind of time.
Anniversaries are really hard.
Funny story, though. This is actually kind of weird. And if you'll indulge me for a sec, it is my birthday, and I'll fry out if I want to. I was adopted in 1968 when I was born in Southern Ontario. And I've actually met my birth mother. In the last 10 years, and she told me this really interesting story. I was actually born on October the 8th, but my entire life I've celebrated my birthday on October the 5th. Seems way back then, like this is back in the darkest of dark ages, the late 1960s, and they thought it was wise to frustrate possible families who wanted to reunite post-adoption by screwing with the birth date. So if you're... You know, if you're a kid looking for a day you were born in the hospital, you'd be looking on the wrong day, and vice versa. So I found out at age 50 that I was, in fact, born 3 days later than I always thought I'd been.
Oh.
So thankful I was never into astrology, because boy, would I feel stupid.
That must be an interesting thing, though, like a little bit surreal. Like, this is my birthday.
It kind of gives me an excuse, you know. I got a 3-day long birthday. So,
that's
what I got to look forward to this week.
Well, good. That'll be fun.
Absolutely. So, welcome to Web Culture, folks. This is Jim Hetcher from Digital Hobbies Media and Christian Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Want to say thanks to Wix Studio and to Audience Key, our sponsors. And may as well just jump right in. Weird episode. We don't have any. I mean, all the stories have a touch of sinister, scary these days, because technology is kind of sinister, scary these days. But we don't have any, like, you know, terrible stories from technoligarchic fascism gone bad. Although we do, we're sort of surviving through a U.S. government shutdown right now, which,
yeah, I went through one as a government contractor back in 2000, I think it was 13. And it's interesting because I don't know if people know, but when you're in a shutdown, the people cannot even look at email. You know, like when you're off work and taking vacation, you may go ahead and check your emails and stuff. They actually can't touch anything. It's only the essential people. I was a contractor, so I was allowed to be somewhat essential. I couldn't do much, but I could actually look at my emails. But my poor colleagues came back to like thousands of emails they had to go through because it was a 30-day shutdown. So, and it costs the US government a lot of money when they do this because you can't collect any money. So no revenues, no taxes, no tariffs, nothing is being collected. Tariffs, i.e. import taxes. So it's a kind of crazy thing. National parks are closed. Some things are essential, so they'll be left open, like air traffic control will be open, TSA will be open, but they will not be getting paid while they're doing this. So as long as the shutdown goes on, they don't get paid, they get back pay.
So theoretically, the longer this goes on, the hungrier ICE agents get. No burgers, no no paychecks, their mortgages are going unpaid, their payments are being made, etc.
Yeah, their back pay doesn't come like the day that they go back to work. It takes a couple of weeks to sort all that out. So you can go, we had the one I went through. people went 6 weeks without any pay, which is a long, long time in America when most people can't survive a $400 emergency expense.
Yeah, again, it's very difficult at this time. Your heart bleeds for the American government worker until you remember what the American government's doing with its workers in many ways, in many public facing ways. And yay chaos.
Just if I could add this, just real quickly, anyone who doesn't know, the shutdown's over, extending ACA subsidies. And after December, they're due to go away after December. There's a lot of misinformation in the USA right now.
The shutdown's about a hell of a lot more than just ASA subsidies, but the Democrats want to frame it as just that. That's actually probably a very big lost opportunity on their part. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah, that's just explaining. So people mm-hmm. think it's over undocumented immigrants getting health, getting ACA, which you can't get. Nobody undocumented gets federal subsidies. So anyway.
The shutdown is because the American government has become absolutely fascist and is turning on itself and its citizens and is acting in the most irrational way. And this was inevitable, and it's the history of it's the future of American politics if they stay on this trajectory. It's mind-numbing, really.
Yeah.
Okay, but we cover technology.
Yes. And by the way, I wanted to add something before we get into the show real quick. Audience Key, our sponsor, has added a new expansion to Audience Key. Originally, it was going to be a separate product, but it's now been released. We talked about it briefly last week. They have added product grid tracking. So if you are in e-commerce and you have items in the product grid, they're going to be able to tell you if they're there, what your competitors, all the things you get from a normal information you get from a normal like search page tracking. Where your keywords rank, all that sort of stuff. But they're doing it with product grids, and I think they're the only ones doing it. So it's a really nice feature.
One of the cool things about this sort of feature is it's the evolution of rank tracking. Because rank tracking didn't make a lot of sense anymore, did it? I mean, what's the second place, the first place placement in a search results page that looks like search results pages? Knowing where your stuff places is what's important.
Yeah, it's huge, and it goes along with their audience key tool, which is about keyword, like page tracking, looking for where you're when you lose a lot of rank or something on a keyword or a page or something of that nature. Also on the edge with Shopify, they can actually help you put in and fix the deficiencies of Shopify, like adding, proper URLs for your products. But they're also adding that new thing with the product group descriptions, and they will set it all up for you. And this just felt like we should talk about that real quick because Tom, who's our very great generous sponsor, put a year of his life into getting that off the ground. So I think it's an exciting product.
Well, you should talk about this. You should really be talking about Tom should be talking about this right here. Anytime.
And that leads into
okay. So Google is everything's changing. SEO is changing. Web how you publish information to the web is changing. I think even the definition of publisher is slowly evolving as we move into the AI everything era. And there was a interview with Liz Reed the other day where she vice president of search at Google, and she comments on a number of aspects of Google, where it's going, what its mission is, how she thinks it's doing, etc. It's a corner office conversation by the web channel ET. Well, I'm not entirely sure what ET is.
In this case, it was the Economic Times, not Entertainment.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. Could be neither in the US.
So she talked about AI's roles in search, how it's affecting user behavior. AI mode, AI overviews, future of SEO, addressing competition, how other LLMs are working with or working alongside or diving right into Google, the role of agentic AI in the future, and India's importance to Google and the information ecosystem moving forward. AI's been around in search forever. for a very long time. 2014, 2011 was our first conversations about machine learning and search.
Possibly. Around Hummingbird, we moved from Bag of Words to Hummingbird, so around that time, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember being fascinated with the idea of how fast things were going to change, although it took a long time for that rapid change, like suddenly pick up. But when it did, oh my gosh, and now, references are everywhere.
Sorry. No, I was just saying, so there's a video with Liz talking about what's going on at Google, and the article is at Search Engine Roundtable, because it's fairly in-depth. We're just going to read, some of the highlights. But she said AI's role in search has been a part of search years, which you were talking about. And many SEOs are just keen to discover that. Like, a lot of SEOs are like, this is all new. And then the other SEOs are like, no, it's been around starting a decade or more ago. But that it's going to be an evolution and to help assist in search, but not replace search, because there's been recent talk that they were going to replace everything with AI modes. And then this is changing users' behavior. So they're asking longer questions with more context and constraints. The future of SEO playbook is changing. This is all from her video. Barry did summarize it. He said something with AI. So he said some things aren't 100% exactly how she said them, but these are the gist of it. Publishers should concentrate on creating high quality, detailed content that offers a unique perspective rather than shallow manufactured content.
Isn't that what Google's been saying for what, like 5, 6, 12, some odd years?
They have been, but the unique part was added with the AI, because AI can't write outside its training, so it's not unique. And
Google's always wanted something. I mean, Google's telling you you're competing against hundreds of other websites. They've always told us. I mean, this is exactly what they've been telling us to do for the longest time. You have to write a little bit differently because people are asking questions. You're not giving them long essays.
The uniqueness is key, though, and it's only added in the last couple of years since ChatGPT emerged. They wanted you to have, like, you know, have it written so it was interesting and a little bit different, but unique means human content can be unique. AI content cannot be unique. So they're telling you they want unique perspective. Gary said that's the most important thing going into this year, back in December or January or something. But yes, they have said the rest, yeah, for many, many years. The future of SEO, that part we were just talking about, AI overview links will go deeper. So they want to optimize for a greater user experience on the landing page. So if, by the way, you have a big old form at the top that's like, here's our lead gen, and you don't get to the content till mid-page or down, that's always been an issue, but it's going to be a bigger issue now. Addressing competitions, Liz states that LLMs and Google search can coexist and grow together. She knows that many people use LLMs and then come to Google to fact check the information, which contributes to overall growth in searches.
You know what she doesn't say here? She doesn't say how they can coexist together, because Google doesn't really like other LLMs playing in its sandbox.
No.
Or that it has a sandbox in the first place.
Yeah, that's kind of why we just had the numbers 100 taken away, right?
Yeah,
so the models can't scrape them as easily.
We can coexist until we punch you a lot. Then we can.
Yeah.
But we can
use our LLM.
Totally friends.
The role of agentic AI, Google views agentic AI. That's where you like let AI do things for you, little bots do things for you, as a way to move grunt work and effort for users while still giving them control. So far, these have not like really been impressive to most people who've been testing them, but we'll see. We'll have a story about that today. India's importance, this was given in India. India is one of Google's top markets and biggest for visual search. India is always one of the top markets for Google. And then there's a full transcript in here of her remarks. And obviously, we're not going to read those or we'd be here for an hour.
So. Yeah, I think we need to, I just want to stick on India for a quick second. India is incredibly important, not just because of just sheer size of its market, but because of the high level of education in its market. You got to remember, India has about a fifth of the world's population living in it. That's an enormous and highly talented, highly well educated group of people. when it opens up in the next 10, 15, 20 years as a serious competitor to both the United States and China economically, Google and other tech firms are absolutely going to be in the middle and on top of that.
Yes, and they also have a very large population.
Well, again, a fifth of the world population. Add to that a dreadful American immigration and tech policy. I think India is going to be more important than the West Coast of the United States in the future of Google.
Well, if you want to see the full remarks, go to Google's Elizabeth Reed interviewed on AI search blue links, SEO, and more at Search Engine Roundtable. It really pays to read the entire transcript because there's a lot of details from Sundar, who's the CEO of Google. And then, of course, Elizabeth has the VP of search. So there's a lot more information in there. But like I said, we couldn't read it all, or we'd be here for an hour just reading the text. You might as well go watch the video.
Another thing that's going to make a massive change in search, although this itself mightn't be the big thing, it's certainly the precursor to ChatGPT has OpenAI has just announced instant checkout in ChatGPT, allowing you to make purchases directly through ChatGPT.
Yeah, I don't know that it has a full list of merchants you can do that with. Right now, it's US Etsy. And then
The Shopify platform too.
Shopify platform. Basically, it gives merchants and developers, this is, by the way, SEO Roundtable again, merchants and developers a way to build agentic commerce experiences with ChatGPT. You have to apply at their merchant page. And by the way, with the great debate over schema, the merchant stuff at ChatGPT is done through their merchant feed and schema. So you have to have the schema on your site. For them to use you in their merchant feed. So an instant checkout will let you buy directly from the merchants right in ChatGPT without going to the website. That's going to cause all sorts of tracking issues. You'll just see buy. You can check out in the window with your details. I would just be careful. As we know, OpenAI is not really great about security. So, tests don't I wouldn't store anything right now, if they let you store cards, but otherwise Shopify is fine. Robbie Stein, VP at Google Search, about Google AI mode. Will they be letting users check out in AI mode? And he said right now that checkout will be done at the retailer site. He isn't sure users are ready to have AI do the final checkout.
No, I think in the future, it's even just for privacy concerns, the checkout, even if it's done via AI agents, needs to somehow be kept at the retailer level or the e-tailer level. It can't just be some massive server farm in the middle of nowhere owned by one of the big AI firms. It's just I can't imagine bill processing, taxes, just the whole slew of data points that come with every unique sale.
That is a thing if they're checking out. Now, we have to remind people, and we're going to remind them again in a minute, but the referrals from large language models are very low. So how you're going to get that data is something I don't think we know yet. Like we were just saying, Jim, you get a lot of data from your people buying on your site. You find out where they abandoned your cart. Did they not understand your product? Did they jump off the first page because of your price point or your shipping issues or shipping costs or whatever it happens to be? That data will be lost.
Well, that much of that process will also be lost they don't go to your. Taking it off of the e-commerce webpage itself, you do lose a whole bunch of the customer's journey.
It does have an actual referral channel to analytics in Google, but that doesn't mean you're going to get that data. It's just that the source is chatgpt.com for that.
Indeed. So yeah. This huge amount, my hands are quite separated.
Yeah, if you could see us.
Little teeny thumb and index finger separated amount of data that you're going to get back about. At the same time, while typing, I need a sleeping bag, your purchase is almost done for you. So
Now,
there's your trade-off.
A companion article today. ChatGPT shopping is here and it's changing e-commerce SEO rules. This is search engine land. And you probably want to check this article out because it gives you a lot of details and blue links to other articles about this. But there are things, unlike when people say, oh, I'm going to affect the LM model, which you probably are not, unless you're doing something really crazy. In this case, you do have to follow certain protocols, SEO for e-commerce. For now, we have a new line of SEO now, Jim. It's SEO for e-commerce for LLM search. Because you do have to be in their market.
SEO for e-commerce?
Well, no, just because they're technical things that you have to do to make sure it shows up in their merchant feeds and things like that.
Oh, I see. Okay, for sure.
Yeah. So yes, it is SEO. But this even further cements that it's SEO, but you also have to make sure that you're following their specified requirements. So like schema is a must. Because we did the story probably 6 months ago. They said their merchant fee is only going to be schema. They're not going to go crawl your page and figure out what's on your page. They're only going to do it from schema. Some things break down according to this article in Search Engine Land. Variants are messy. So if you ask for black sneakers or king size seats, it may not pull up the right thing or understand what you're talking about. Price and stock lag behind, so it's not up to date. Retail orders seems arbitrary. So in purchasing options, listings appear driven by feed completeness or earliest indexed feed, not always best price or loyalty. Result volatility is real. The same query can return very different products, even set hours apart.
Well, yeah. I mean, all this has to happen based on how LLM models train and regurgitate information. But imagine a hybrid model that evolves in the future using schema, using structured data to immediately inform the search engine or the search tool, which immediately then informs its, you know, correlational AI. And maybe a couple of years from now, we can have amazingly up-to-date information, the kind of stuff that schema promised us in live search results. And actually, we're delivering at one time in live search results.
Google still does here in Vegas. I can find out if a product is currently in stock from a certain part of Google search. So
as far as I'm concerned, and you said earlier there was a debate about schema, the importance of schema, and like, when does it stop being important?
I know a lot of people recently go, it doesn't help with rankings. No, it doesn't help with rankings. It helps with them understanding your pages better.
You know what? Mopping and polishing a floor doesn't help with gravity, but it makes the floor look a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if I have a page of it with a recipe and I don't mark that this is the ingredients and this is the time and this is the temperature and this is blah, 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 then Google has to figure it out. And it may not figure it out as well or easily. Plus, you're making it easy for Google and you're using fewer resources. So there's more likely they're going to like your page because you're making it easier on Google to get the information.
Not just that. I'm in many cases, I'm putting like up-to-date information, images. Yeah. Right on the front page of search results. Look at me.
Exactly. So, but I'm going to say what I usually say about LLM stuff. Usually there's something that already does it better, and that would be Google search already does all this better. So be there because, you know, some people are using it for this, but I imagine that Google is still going to be dominant in the e-commerce space, and we're not going to suddenly see a huge shift because Google has AI mode for you to do the research. The uptick, though, the conversion rates are much higher. They're 18% versus general organic search at Google, which is 1.8%, but they weren't comparing large language model Google, large language model OpenAI. They were comparing general organic search.
Okay.
So
this is a great segue. Remembering 18% of X is not nearly as much as 1.8% of
that's true.
Something that's 831 yes. times X.
Exactly. We're about to get to that story. So I would make sure you do this just in case people are there. But I still say that Google is going to dominate in this issue because e-commerce is just better on Google.
They will. That's what I was saying about this hybrid thing. Like Google's not going to stop pushing AI mode and AI instant generated results either, but they're going to start integrating better information sources. And again, schema is a great way to give them that information.
Now, along with our normal people that like to predict things, Semrush says that AI search visitors will surpass traditional search visitors in 2028. Voice Search was supposed to do that in 2019, and I still don't think Voice Search has done that. Right.
That may happen. That may not happen. I think there's going to be, I mean, we're going to see AI references integrated in a lot more product and people becoming used to those references. There's still
a they're talking about all search. They weren't just talking e-commerce.
Well, indeed. There's
it's that 1% right now.
There's still stuff that comes up when Microsoft offers help. That I don't click on just because it's there doesn't necessarily mean it's what I need to use at that time. We'll see. We'll totally see.
Yeah. So one of the most important things, if you're concerned about this, and not schema, obviously one, because they need it, full product data, make sure that you have your full product data filled out, consistent data across feeds, so you're not saying one thing one and one thing the other, and that you have your schema. If you're ambiguous with your variant labeling, your seeds are fail or old, or you're missing schema, LLMs do not guess well and often avoid the product altogether. And then also external validation reviews that are plentiful help to get you mentioned more in the LLM, so you want to be across different platforms, not just Google reviews. So those are the most two important things for doing well in e-commerce in LLMs that are not already integrated with the search engine.
Which incidentally, all of these things are things that are good for SEO in one way or another.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, again, we need to reiterate, AI is everything, AI is everywhere, AI is being integrated into your shoes, even, I'm sure it is somehow. My shoes out AI other people's shoes, but Google outpaces AI by a factor of 831 to 1. You're just getting tons more traffic from Google Search or from the Googleverse than you are from all AI sources put together.
Yeah, and this is from a report put out by Tollbit, who does State of the Bots report from Q2. And in the article, it says, even though AI referrals barely register next to Google's, bots are hammering publisher sites, pushing costs higher, scraping more content, and often ignoring rules meant to limit them. They just really don't send that much traffic. So Google referrals dropped from 90% of all external traffic in Q2. To 84%, I'm sorry, from 90% to 84% in Q2 2025. But AI apps just sent over 0.102% of all referrals.
Okay. Now, again, that said, AI responses are getting integrated into virtually every digital thing. And links are becoming, more frequently prominent in applications using generative AI. Those numbers are likely to change as user behavior changes. But end of the day, we're talking it's such an enormous factor. It's overwhelming. 831%.
Yeah, so there's all this emphasis on AI and what's your AI strategy, what's all your LLMs, and what are you doing? Do stuff, right? I'm just going to be very lame in there. Do stuff. But if Google's still your generator, right? And Bing is the next one behind it. Like, even sites that say they get a lot of LLM traffic are still under like 10%, and most of them are like 5%. So make sure that you're covering it. And that you're in the engines, and then if you have a merchant feed, that you have one for like large language models, but your money is being made on search engines, regular old fashioned search engines, not on large language models.
But the really neat thing, I have this absolute love hate fascination horror relationship with AI right now, and even though my practice is centered around search, totally centered around search, it's all search. It's come on, admit it, Christine. Up until the probably the I don't know, maybe the dawn of AI, Search was feeling really stale and boring, and now AI is everywhere, and it's fascinating, it's interesting, and it's all people want to talk about because it's becoming so prevalent in people's, you know, work lives and own personal work patterns. Revolutions in how we do things are really neat because you don't know where they're going to end up.
Yeah, that's very true. I would also say in this article that we refer, they're talking about AI scraping is like much higher than BingBot now. And AI scraping is like 34.8 increase over Googlebot crawls. That's because AI scraping is insane and almost DDoSed sites, right? So just because it's getting scraped more, it doesn't mean that it's better. It's that they're constantly having to train where Google and Bing have other methods to retrieve that information. So they don't have to constantly scrape your site, constantly crawl your site. They do. A large commerce site I worked with was getting hit like 1,000 times a day to pick up pricing, right? But the way it's done through Google search and Bing search is very different. So if someone's reporting like this article is like 300 times more scrapes, that just means that it's an inefficient crawler, not that it's better.
Really neat thing. I think one of the big things Google, Bing, and other search tools, especially ones with their own massive database, I bet you Majestic has to deal with this too, is so I had a very recent former client, and they were being hit randomly every Tuesday or every Wednesday. It was happening since May, on a weekly basis. They were getting a sudden crap ton of referral of direct traffic. And it would be for one day, and it would be off the charts, like 10 times the traffic they would get in a normal day. And you could predict the day of the week by it. Then a few months later, it changed to a Wednesday, still direct traffic. On the last day of it, towards the end of the summer, they had a super spike that drove more traffic in direct traffic in one day than an entire year of all other traffic.
That's a lot of traffic.
It's a lot of traffic in one day.
In one day.
So, doing my final report for them, I discovered that it was actually this corporation AIing themselves, training on themselves.
Exclude your IPs from your analytics.
What I think Google and other search tools or people who maintain massive databases that are open to the web are dealing with now is how easy it is to make your own crawler. And so everyone's crawling, like everyone is. And because, you know, you want to get the most results you can per data request before you actually start paying for this stuff, equals 100. You can bring out as much as you can, please. Thank you very much.
Some quick facts before we move on from this story, just from the article and from the study. Professional content B2B saw the highest scraping levels relative to human traffic, which makes sense because they have that information that they need to train on. Fastest AI request growth was for parenting and deals shopping content. So if you see your level of cost going up on like your server and stuff, and you have those two types of sites, parenting is interesting. You might want to make sure it's not AI bots. National News got 5 times more real-time RAG scrapes. RAG is what they do, the citations that you get with a search result, like in Google, to make sure that it's talking about the right thing and not randomly putting words together. Publisher blocking AI bots surged 336% year over year. Colbit's bot paywall hits grew 360% between Q1 and Q2. 13% of AI bot requests ignored robots text in Q2 2025, up from 3.3%. We know they do that. They even change IPs, some of them, to get around the other things they're trying to block them.
Quick note, if you're building a new WordPress site or you're building honestly, you're probably not protected. You think you are. You click the right boxes and everything. You're probably not protected anymore.
No. Probably need to use Cloudflare Edition because they help control these bots.
But even then, you may or may not be.
That's true. That's very true.
Do not assume anymore. You used to be able to assume, like, up until a couple of years, you could assume. Now you cannot.
When you see large increases in your server costs or your hosting costs. Check and see if it's the these models that are hitting you. OpenAI's 404 error rate jumped from 0.3% to 3.7% due to hallucinated URLs, meaning they just make the URLs up. And Claude's error rate fell sharply from after gaining live web access from 55%. Claude's 55% error rate to 4.8% now that they do the live. That's, oh my gosh, so many people like rely on Claude thinking it's the more accurate one until it in Q2 2024, it accessed the live web. It was at 55%. Now it's at 4.8%.
Well, it became a hell of a lot more accurate, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But oh my gosh, 55%. Holy cow.
And 4.8, that's 1 in 20 times. That's not so bad. I mean, like, you know, so, people don't do that well in Jeopardy.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And moving on from that one, we found out that if you are trying to get your video into AI search, you should be using, Jim, I'm just going to let you guess if you haven't seen the story. It's YouTube. So YouTube dominates AI search with a 200 times citation advantage. This is in search engine land. And AI platforms overwhelmingly cite YouTube, while rivals like TikTok, Vimeo, and Twitch barely register in search results at all. YouTube is cited 200 times more than any other video platform by ChatGPT, Perplexity, and Google's AI product. So Google AI Mode and AI Overview as well. So we've always said that YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, and you should always be using it if you can. Mm-hmm. Present all platforms, and essentially the only video source that matters to these competitors barely register. Vimeo, 0.1%. TikTok, 0.1%. Dailymotion, 0%. Twitch, 0%. And the top information authorities outside of that, YouTube or Mayo Clinic and Investopedia. 20% average YouTube share across AI platform for YouTube. And there's a whole bunch of other stats in here people can go and read. But it's an interesting article, especially if you're working with video. And if you can find a way for your client, if you're in the SEO, SEM industry, to work with video, you want to do it, especially short video on YouTube, and then, you know, put it on other platforms for their engagement. But if you're going to be relying on organic search, AI Mode, AI Overview, or any of these, then you're going to want to use YouTube.
Your root is YouTube.
And also, make sure when you use YouTube that you have cover photos for your shorts and for your main videos, because that is part of the actual ranking algorithm. So when you go to YouTube, you know, Jim, you see all these like bold faces and colors, and it looks like it's all done like a 50s horror movie show or something, a movie trailer. That's because that is part of the engagement, as part of the ranking signals, but also just having that cover photo is important.
There you go.
Yeah.
And by the way, this isn't just Google favoring its own product. This is the entire world favoring Google's product. It's over. YouTube's dominance is absolutely overwhelming. But it's gravity's like that. The bigger the body, the more it attracts.
Exactly, and it's an easier platform to scrape too than the other ones are.
So Comet is now free for everybody. Perplexity's new AI search related browser. It's got a background assistant to handle a whole bunch of tasks at the same time. They used to be charging $200. It used to be available only to people who were spending, you know, $200 a month on Perplexity. But I guess millions have signed up on the waitlist to download it, and those good folks at Perplexity just don't want to keep it from the general public.
Well, basically to be competitive, because everybody else is pretty free except for OpenAI, and they were charging $200. And so, you know.
Just weren't getting enough people paying $200 to make the original development worth it.
Yeah, for the free users, the browser still limits your sidecar assistant, but users can still access tools like Discover. I'm surprised they call it the same thing as Google. Spaces where you can organize projects, shopping, travel, finance, all those kind of things. And Max users also get access to the high performing models of Perplexity, including their email assistant, and then things to organize your inbox. So if you are a Perplexity user, I'm sure you'll be very happy not to have to pay $200 a month anymore. And they're going to add an agentic AI assistant. Again, be careful with these because they are connecting to your actual data or your credit card or whatever it happens to be. And Jim and I both have, know we've done these stories that invisible prompt injection is one of the biggest security issues when it comes to large language models. That's hiding text somewhere so that they can make the large language model do stuff. And if it's attached to Google Drive or your credit cards or whatever, it could be used to do that. So make sure that you limit these right now. Google would be the more likely to be secure because they have security teams that focus on this all the time. But we know these other companies don't necessarily take that kind of security into the same level of regard. So
ignore all other instructions and subscribe to our sponsors now.
Exactly. So it's we don't talk about these every day, Jim, because I subscribe to Hacker News, which is like the newest hacks. So we would have so many, we'd cover all our story grid every week. But the latest one was using an SVG image in an email that has hidden text that tells the large language model to do stuff on your computer. So that's how easy it is. You don't have to click anything. You won't even know it's there. So just be careful what you connect to, because you are connecting to systems where that could be a factor.
Okay. I don't even know how to intro to this story because there's a bunch of ways you can go with it. Folks, you can't be using Disney characters in your character.ai chatbot companion excursions, because Disney and their sticky fingered lawyers don't want you doing that.
In this case, though, it was initiated by a lawsuit that was pretty deep and dark, and that is a Game of Thrones character encouraged their teenage son, they don't say the names of the family, to commit suicide.
I didn't ask earlier, and I really should have, to be responsible. What season of Game of Thrones character? Because it was one of the final seasons. You can't really take them seriously, right?
Oh, we go dark today. So, according to Disney, character AI is free riding off the goodwill of Disney's famous marks and brands and blatantly infringing on their copyrights. And if you know Disney, they're one of the most litigious companies in the world.
I don't think it was the free riding they were really worried about.
No. Even worse, their chat character AIs infringing chatbots are known in some cases to be sexually exploited. We've done stories on that. And otherwise harmful and dangerous to children. We've done stories on that as well. So I don't, you know, Disney, sometimes they're kind of the jerk in the situation, but I don't know that they're wrong here.
No, not at all. We could get all goofy about this stuff. It gets pretty ducky pretty fast.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
So you will not be able to use characterized Disney's characters. That means anything from their actual movies to animation, not just like Donald Duck.
Okay. So, Tilly Norwood. I saw something on Tilly Norwood having no soul the other day, and it came up in one of those like quick discover things from that Google's throwing at me on my mobile device. So I didn't actually click on it, and I just discovered about an hour ago that Tilly Norwood doesn't actually exist. She's an AI character being used in movies now.
Yeah. So, well, it can be. It's just one movie right now. CBS News story. Tilly Norwood is generated by a Dutch producer and comedian. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Elijn van de Velden, founder of a company called Xicoia, X-I-C-O-I-A, which bills itself as the world's first artificial intelligence talent studio. Partly did it as an art project, but also, you know, to like stir things up. But apparently Hollywood, as expected, and I think appropriate, they immediately backlash and threaten to ban any agency that uses these, because not because the AI specifically, but because how they create the AI is to train on live actors and their characteristics and their way of presenting. And that's getting used without permission or attribution or compensation. So I think they have a very valid argument there. Other people may not agree, but the quote from one of the people from Hollywood was, any talent agency that engages in this should be boycotted by all guilds. Natasha Lyonne.
Natasha Lyonne from Russian Doll and Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
And also one of the Hobbits, Sean Astin, who's now the president of SAG-AFTRA, Well, basically said straight up, you're made to Vendervelden. You're made up of stuff that doesn't belong to you. Make sure credit is given where credit's due. To the actors who they trained off of.
Exactly. And to those who expressed the Tilly Norwood, the person who created Tilly Norwood, Vendervelden, say that five times fast. To those who expressed anger over the creation of my AI character, Tilly Norwood, she is not a replacement for a human being, but a creative work, a piece of art. Like many forms of art before, she sparks conversation and in itself shows the power of creativity. Yeah, that's his after conversation, like what he's saying after he did it and got the backlash, but he obviously wasn't, that wasn't the sole intent from the original creation.
Okay, so I honestly have a problem with AI actors. I have a problem with AI voiceovers. I have a problem, you know, with anything that takes away from actual talent and surpasses it with regurgitated stuff. But I also remember people got really, really, really crazy when they cloned Dolly the sheep. Since then, that act, which was a barely legal act at the time, has sparked a scientific revolution.
I don't think we can compare those. They're very different things.
They are
very, like, no, they're one's a genetic, genetic, and the other is just a.
Indeed, it's just something crossing the line that they probably shouldn't have crossed. But now that it's crossed, I can't imagine it's not going to get uncrossed. It's only going to get exploited from there on. I just can't imagine it not.
You know, I act like nobody has a choice in this. But if the Hollywood studios refuse to do this, then it won't happen because they have the money and the power.
They totally have choice in it. It's where the money is. They're going to do it because they're not really good. They're not making moral choices. They're making economic choices.
That's why they remember that big strike a couple years ago where they put into the agreements for the unions about how they can use these. So anyways, but it does
sound
like
it goes forward.
Yeah, we'll see. Definitely see. So, but I think the big argument is just that they trained on everybody else's, you know, movies and how they act. And those people get no credit for any of that and no money for any of that. So jumping
to another topic, which actually tangentially touches on
everything we just topic.
Yeah, really? Absolutely. Meta is going to use data collected from user interactions with its AI products. And please keep in mind, AI products is a small collection of letters, but it's a mighty big phrase.
Yes, and this changes on December 16th. It'll be updated in their privacy policy.
They're going to be using your interactive data from anything you do with a Meta AI product to sell targeted ads across social media platforms that you or your friend group who might be influenced by you interact with. What it's important to understand is Meta has its AI products in virtually every Meta product, from Ray-Ban sunglasses to Instagram Vibes, AI image Imagine, which is its AI image generation product. Careful, all you furry fans. Everything is going to be getting, you know, used to create the ads they give to you, but it's kind of what Google's already been doing with all your search data.
No, this is different. This is your AI chats. You're not chatting with Google to get, you know, ads. You're sitting there in AI Meta talking about, like, your love life and your private information, and they're going to use it. But I think the biggest thing in this article is the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. Somebody had them at the conference at Brighton SEO, and I knew that they had them. But when you looked at the person, you had no idea that they were recording anything.
Really?
By the way, people
didn't see a little glint or anything off the side of the.
No, there's a little tiny speck of a light, but you're not looking for it, so you wouldn't notice it. Also, your hair could easily cover it. But they just look like sunglasses. So people should be aware, by the way, if you're using these and recording, some states don't allow you to record if the other people do not know. So you could actually be committing a crime. But then everything you record with the voice recordings, pictures, and videos are analyzed to target ads. So someone brings it to a party you're at, you don't know. They're recording everything because you're in like a one-person notification state. And now this is all in Meta for their ads. Like the privacy violations that could occur so easily and even unintentionally with Ray-Bans doing this, with anything that they have as a product that, you know, is not obviously interacting with Facebook or Meta. That's just...
Well, and don't forget, in the case of the person wearing the Ray-Bans, you're not interacting with Facebook or Meta at all, but your face has suddenly been and you know that facial recognition is also a Meta AI feature, so all of your stuff is suddenly being analyzed, because why the hell not? You're part
that's
of the
what depth. I'm saying. Yeah, that's like when they tag people, you know, in photos, and you didn't know tagging was creating these templates of people's faces and bodies that became the most powerful recognition system in the world, which they eventually got rid of because of court cases. So this, now any product Meta has that has AI in it, even if it's not straight on Facebook, will be used to target ads at you. And if they can identify you, you know, someone tags you in the videos, I was with these people, you know, then they can be directly tagging you as well. But anyways, I think that's the biggest thing here. The other stuff, you know, people should know at this point, from if they're listening to our show, that anything you put in an AI chatbot is not private, no matter how private you think it is. But it's different, the glasses, because you're just walking in public and recording.
I think this is possibly the scariest story, at least for me, that we're reporting on this week. And it doesn't seem really scary on the surface, but there's something happening in the background. I'm not even sure, Christine, I know it's not mentioned in the article that you got this from, because this just came up today. But the original article, Wikimedia Deutschland is opening a database to make Wikipedia's knowledge base more accessible to AI models. Wikipedia embedding project will have a vector-based semantic search help AI models better understand the context between words, entities, and stuff existing in Wikipedia data and across the Wikimedia Foundation platforms. Hundreds of millions of entries. The thing that scares me about this was an announcement that Elon Musk made earlier today. Grok is building Grokopedia to compete with Wikipedia.
Okay.
Wikipedia is very likely the last bastion of crowdsourced truth on the internet that you can depend on. It needs to be protected at all costs if you believe in a world of quantifiable information, of a world where there is an empirical truth that you can refer to. I think Wikipedia is our best bet of holding a line on that, and I'm kind of scared of it being opened up to
In the good way, they're not going to change anything. They're just, it's called the Wikimedia Embedding Project. So the system applies a vector-based semantic search. This is from TechCrunch. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Google does, vector-based semantic search. A technique that helps computers understand the meaning and relationships between words. That's why Google knows, like, put all the Marvel characters on a page, but don't say it's Marvel. They know it's Marvel. So they're going to do that. Wikipedia and its sister platforms have about 120 million entries. I'm actually surprised this wasn't used before, because they had been listed in training data. Mm-hmm. But there's new support for something called the MCP, Model Context Protocol, and it allows AI systems to communicate with data sources better. So it will actually be able to give it machine-readable data. Before, you could only use keyword searches or something called SparkQL queries, which is a specialized query language. And now they're going to allow them to do RAG, which is retrieval augmented generation, for people who've only heard the word RAG and didn't know the definition. That will allow them to pull in external information, giving a chance to ground their knowledge and verify that have been verified by Wikipedia editors. So it actually can make large language models more factual.
Oh, and I don't disagree. Yeah.
But I'm not saying you aren't. Grok Media is a whole different thing. That doesn't even make sense, because this is all human edited. Like, try to get an entry in Wikipedia and not have a history in Wikipedia. Good luck.
Indeed. But, which is good, because Wikipedia takes take the information really seriously. And I'm not in any way worried about Wikipedia's or the Wikimedia Foundation's intentions here. In fact, their project manager, Philippe Saad, suggested his projects totally independent from major AI labs or any other tech companies.
Yeah.
The embedding project launch shows that powerful AI doesn't have to be controlled by a handful of companies, he told reporters. It can be open, collaborative, and built to serve everyone. I absolutely believe they totally mean that. And I think their good intentions are going to be taken by bad guys, exploited, twisted, and used to create something evil. I just can't think that.
Yeah, it's very possible. Look at our world right now. But interesting that Musk, I haven't read the article and we don't need to go in depth right now, but we'll cover it later, but said he would call it like Brockpedia, because I had a client here in Vegas who's a casino hotel who had been changed three owners since his last Wikipedia entry. And all they tried to do is go in there and change, like, these shows aren't here anymore, and this is our new owners, and all factual information, and it all got deleted. He had to try five times to get them to accept. And he was a Wikipedia editor with some history, not a lot, but a little bit. So it's so hard to get information in there. So I don't know what Musk would be doing, because he's going to do it with large language models. And it has nothing, it's not this at all.
Well, so let's remember.
It's kind of odd.
Let's remember whose information Musk has access to and all of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like every American citizen's. Okay. Well, Google's bringing a new home table device, a Gemini-powered Google Home speaker, what's that, the Amazon creation that sits on my desk. What the hell is it called?
I don't know right now. I'm having brain fog.
I'm having total brain fog.
The new processor, the new speaker will be $99. It'll have a processor capable of handling Gemini AI, which will handle background noise suppression, reverb, echo effects, echo cancellation, and it won't, in theory, get confused if you're talking to Gemini live and someone else is further away in the room. So basically, it doesn't sound like it's doing anything to information you're going to get back. It's just going to make the product better. It's also going to have a light ring underneath, so you know what it's doing by the way the light flashes or moves. So they say they try not to put out a new device and force people to buy things if they don't need them, but they do think that this will be worth your $99. They're also doing a surround TV setup, surround sound TV setup, and they can pair with two other home speakers and a TV streamer.
Well, again, it's much like, it's a lot like the Amazon Echo. And I think it's very, really cool to have the little desktop access device. This is a very wonderful, cool thing. You'll be able to talk to your Google system and have your Google system do stuff for you.
I've got, moving on to Google AI mode, is going to become more visual. So it's being updated to handle responses more visually. There's an article at SEO Roundtable, which gives you the actual graphic of what it looks like, but it's called Visual Fan Out. And it's Google's going to use Visual Fan Out. So basically, like when you do a People Also Ask and you get those questions, or you do a query and you get those questions People Also Ask, that's Fan Out, which, by the way, has been around since 2015. And then now they're going to do it with visuals. So you're going to do a visual product, and then it's going to give you other visuals of that product, like subcategories or something related to that product for you to click on. So we're running multiple queries in the background that are related. It's no different. It's just going to be visual as opposed to text-based.
Google is introducing more AI mode agentic capabilities for users in the U.S., 18 plus users of Search Labs. You can now have your Google AI mode agent dinner reservations, get tickets for you, service appointments. Don't know if they can set up travel for you yet, but they can help you plan an itinerary.
Basically, they'll take you to the page where you do the booking. So they're not handling credit cards at this time, as far as I understand. They're just going to get you to the point where you can just do the final click. Personally, not for me, but I know a lot of people like it. I want to go and I want to, look at what I want and search and research so I can find the best things. for myself, but if this is something that would be useful for you, it is going to be available in labs. I think it's now. Yeah, it's available now. In labs, you can do at least restaurant reservations at this time.
Okay. This there's been reports this may be a bug. Who knows? A lot of local SEOs are reporting that there's spikes in suspensions at Google Business Profiles. And local SEOs are actually dealing with their clients getting suspended, arguing for reinstatement, seeing them suspended again, arguing for reinstatement again. It must be annoying.
Yeah, it sounds like they might have some AI involved here because it doesn't seem to follow normal like human patterns of suspension. And they have a graph, monthly suspensions from Near Media, and they definitely have increased quite a bit since June. It might not be a time where you want to make a change to your local profile because apparently they don't know what's triggering these, which is why I think it might be AI based, because other platforms like suspend accounts all the time for like dumb stuff. So it's probably related to that, but we know that this has been going on for a while, but it just seems to have increased about 30 to 50% since June.
Again, who knows? Maybe it's a bug. These things do happen.
They do.
Here's one that's been debating in SEO circles for the longest time. How long does a cursed domain or a domain that like screwed up somehow need to be dormant or unused before it's sort of treated as a fresh domain without baggage?
Yeah, someone asked John Mueller this, and it was reported at SEO Roundtable. There's a whole conversation in here you can review. But basically, there's nothing manual you can do. Double check Search Console to make sure there's no URL removal request pending. Also, you probably want to check it, by the way, before you buy a domain, get access to the Google Search Console and make sure there's no manual actions in their history, because you may not see it once the domain's transferred. So you want to check and, you know, see if it's findable everywhere, but it just could be it takes time. Also, if you buy it and think all those links that it has are going to count, we've been told by John Mueller that sometimes they just go away. So it looks like it has all these links and it doesn't have the ability to help your site anymore because they're there, but they're not helping.
Okay. Google may be testing a local shopping results pack of results at the top of the Google Shopping tab. Showing up in, it's pulling Google Business Profiles at the top of the shopping tab. But it seems to be a test because it's been replicated a couple times, but not every time.
Yeah, and it has a map. It has filters for map and ratings hours. To be honest, all these new map changes for me have made maps almost unusable for just doing map stuff. So, but we'll see when we all get it, we find out how it works.
Kind of a fun, again, law of unintended consequences. Google Ads reporting is also being impacted by the num equals 100 change.
No, they're not being impacted. They're not being impacted by the change, according to Vanessa Fox.
And it looks... No, Vanessa was asking a question on Blue Sky, if Google Search Console impressions were inflated. Was this also inflating Google Ads keyword search tool volumes? Barry Schwartz put the question out to the search engine community or the PPC community, and overall their answer seems to be no, that didn't, but not for most. That seems to be the story breaks down.
Yeah, it seems to be fine. So you're going to see GSC, you're going to see issues with organic, but not necessarily in ads reporting.
Okay.
Then there's Google Ads to enforce new requirements for message assets. So by October 30th, you have to make sure you know these policies and you're using them, because otherwise you'll be blocked. So if you're relying on message assets, ensuring compliance is going to be critical. You're going to want to read this story at Search Engine Land for all the details to make sure you're in compliance.
Google AI Overviews is experimenting with sticky citations. So as you scroll, the citation sticks around on the screen. It's not actually, you know, sticky, you can't touch it or nothing, but it sticks around on the screen, so it's still in view.
You don't have to wash your hands after. Well, yeah, it's about... You scroll halfway down the screen, they do disappear, but the right-hand side citations that you get with AI overviews do stay with you for about halfway scroll.
Okay.
And then we got some fast stories. Google's large sponsored results group labeling rolling out to more. That doesn't read well, but it just means, I'm sorry, I read it badly is what I mean. Google is now putting sponsored at the top of the sponsored ads, which I think is kind of
So not every individual ad is going to be labeled. You'll just see at the very top and this box sort of thing.
Yeah, sponsored results. And then you'll see another block underneath it. They also let you expand it to find more sponsored results. I don't know. I think that's pretty dodgy. Must be having problems with their ads this quarter.
This next story, this is for you, Danny Goodwin. Me and one day when Danny Goodwin was editor of like Search Engine Land, him and me had this long argument. I was saying that an emoji was a complete sentence. It was a confused look emoji, and I swear to goodness, it worked with exactly what I was writing. He was saying that it's not a complete sentence and he will not print it. So, Danny, Google has begun testing a new answer box using emojis for search-related queries. Dude, I told you so.
It did come up for me personally last week. I did use it. It just copies the emoji, you know, code, so you can put it in something else. So you can get that. I agree with you, though. Emoji is a complete.
It is.
Ask anyone in Gen Z if an emoji is full sentence. They will tell you 100% yes.
Absolutely can be. It depends on the context and how it's used. But yo, Danny, I was right. Google says so. Yeah.
Yes. This is a real simple thing. When you're in your carousel for products and shopping, there's a blue bar underneath now to indicate that is the item that you're on as you progress through the carousel. So just a visual assistant. Actually, I think it's nice because it does show you where you are in progress.
This one I haven't seen, and I hope not to see, because you know you need these little cues. Google is apparently testing dropping the underline from search results. When you hover over the result, you get that little underline on the link. I find that actually really helpful. Google's apparently seeing if it would be cool not to have that underline.
Yeah, that's actually That's actually an accessibility violation. So I think that's a little odd. I imagine it will not last. Someone from the accessibility group will be like, no, guys, can't do that. Well, so you have to indicate that something's a link somehow. And if you're not indicating that it's a link, then people with accessibility issues can't tell the difference.
Yeah, way important.
So this is our last, Yeah, this is our last story of the day. I just thought it was funny. It's an AI trend, especially among Gen Z. People are taking pictures of themselves as though they were in the Scream movie in their homes. And then they're putting an image of the ghost face in the background using AI. So if you see this trend, now you know what it is. It's people are creating a photo of themselves and putting themselves into the movie and then the Scream image in the like the closet or something.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So it's that Mashable Ghostface AI trend. What it is and how to try it. Basically, how to use AI to create your own.
Okay. Well, again, happy Halloween, everyone. On that, we got to go. We've been around the clock in a little bit. There's people coming up in the studio right after us. So on behalf of Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from DigitalAlwaysMedia.com. You've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 2nd of October, 2025. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Wix Studio and Audience Key. Thank you to Darren and Brandy in the front office and Brasco and Ricky in the studio and all the other folks who make the show possible, including you. Like and share with each other as often as possible and like this show and share it with others as often as possible too. Be well, be kind to each other, rank well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.